Half the bells, the servant of the Savior. Strike in the streets, pure of his heart. One, two, three, four.
Thank you.
show that you're home. When you think the night has seen your mind, and inside you're twisted and unkind, let the standard show that you are blind. Please put down your hand as I see you. Your darkness, so you won't be afraid when you think the night has seen your mind. That inside you're twisted and unkind, stand to show that you are blind. Please put down your hand, 'cause I see you. Thank you.
without meaning, I'm beginning to see the light. I wore my teeth in my hand so I can mess up the hair of the night. And I'm beginning to see the light. Oh, I'm beginning to see the light. Well, I'm beginning to see the light. I wore my teeth in my hand. It comes to a view. Which one will you choose? One is black and one is blue. Don't know just what to do.
Brother Jefferson reached his limit. It was now made obvious that he'd been severing from Marsha for more than 2 months. 2 months, all he had to show were 3 dummy letters and 2 very expensive long distance phone calls. 2 when school had ended, she returned to Wisconsin. He to Locust, Pennsylvania. She'd sworn to maintain a certain fidelity. She would date occasionally, but merely as amusement. She would remain faithful. But lately, Walden began to worry. He had trouble sleeping at night. And when he did, he had horrible dreams. He lay awake at night, tossing and turning underneath his quilt protector. Tears welling in his eyes as he pictured Marsha. Her sworn vows overcome by liquor and smooth, soothing some Neanderthal. Finally submitting to the caresses of sexual oblivion. It was more than the human mind could bear. Visions of Marsha's faithlessness haunted him. Daytime fantasies of sexual abandon permeated his thoughts. And the thing was, they wouldn't understand how she really was. He wore her alone and mysterious. He had intuitively grasped every nook and cranny of her psyche. It made her smile. She needed him. He wasn't there. The idea came to him on the Thursday before the mother's parade. He just finished mowing and edging the Edison's lawn for $1.50. Then checked the mailbox to see if there's a decent word from Marsha. There's nothing but a circular from the Amalgamated Aluminum Company of America inquiring into his zoning. At least they cared enough to write. It was a New York company. He could go anywhere in the mail. Then it struck him. He didn't have enough money to go to Wisconsin and accept the cash and food. So why not mail himself? It was absurdly simple. He would ship himself, parcel post, special delivery. So the next day, Waldo went to the supermarket to purchase the necessary cookies. He bought a masking tape, a staple gun, and a medium-sized cardboard box. His drive to a person in his bill. He judged that with a minimum of jostling, he could ride quite comfortably. A few air holes, some water, perhaps some midnight snacks, and it would probably be as good as going tourist. By Friday afternoon, Waldo was set. He was thoroughly packed and crossed on his degree to pick him up at 3 o'clock. He had marked the package fragile. As he sat there on his side, I could picture the little horn happiness on Marsha's face. As she opened the door, saw the package, tipped the deliverer, and then opened it to see her Waldo finally there in person. She would kiss him, and maybe they could see the room. If he'd only thought of this before, suddenly, her hands gripped the package and found himself borne up, standing with a thud in a truck. Marsha Bronson had just finished setting her hair. It had been a very rough weekend. She had to remember not to drink right now. Bill had been nice about it, though. After it was over, he said that still respected her. After all, it was certainly the way of nature. And even though, no, he didn't love her, he did feel an affection for her. After all, they were grown adults. No, Bill could teach Waldo. But that's many years ago. Sheila Klein, very, very hesitant, walked into the court's room door and into the kitchen. Oh God, his hands had been warm in that sun. I know what you mean. I feel all lit up when she rang the bell. Not the bowl. Sheila ran her finger onto the salt pan on the kitchen table, licked her fingers and made a face. coffee with that. I got up from the table and went to the sink. Picked up a bottle of paper with vitamins. One, don't you think it's supposed to be better than steak? And then tried to touch the knees. I don't think I'll ever touch a daiquiri again, she said, sat down next to the small table in front of the telephone. Maybe Bill will call, she said, to Sheila's plan. Sheila never won a kitchen. After last night, I thought maybe you'd be through with him. I know what you mean. My God, he's like an octopus. Hands all over the place. She gestured, raising her arms up on the fence. The thing is, I don't know why you get tired of fighting with him, you know, after all. I didn't really do anything Friday and Saturday, so I kind of hoped to. She started to scramble. Sheila was giving with a hand over her mouth. I tell you, I felt the same way. And even after a while, I really wanted to. And now she was laughing. It was at this point that Mr. Jameson of the Clarence Post Office rang the doorbell of the large stuffer covered in his house. When Marsha Bronson opened the door, he helped to carry the package in. Had his yellow green slip sign and the 15-cent tip that Marsha had gotten out of her mother's small pocketbook in the garden. What do you think it is? She asked. Marsha stood with her arms folded behind her back, staring at the ground. Inside the package, Walter quivered with excitement as he listened to the muffled voices. Sheila ran her fingernail over the masking tape and ran down the center of the counter. Why don't you look at the return address and see who it's from? Walter felt his heart beating. He could feel the vibrating muscles. It would be soon. Marsha walked around the counter and then he scratched her. God, it's from Waldo, she said. That schmuck, said Sheila. Waldo trembled with expectation. Well, you might as well open it, said Sheila. Both of us had a dip to flat. Well, said Marsha Browning, he must have nailed it shut. Tuck in the flap of it. My God, you need a power drill to get this thing open and pull it again. You can't get a grip with it, both of them. Why don't you get a scissors, said Sheila. Marsha ran into the kitchen, but all she could find is a little sewing scissors. Then she remembered that her father kept a collection of tools in the basement. And she ran downstairs, and when she came back up, she had a large sheet metal cover in her hand. This is the best I could find. She's very old. Here, you do it. I think I need the bag. Thank you to a large fluffy couch, said Marsha. Sheila tried to make a slip between the masking tape and the edge of the cargo flap. But the blade was too big, so there wasn't enough room. God damn this thing, she said, feeling exasperated. Then smiling, I've got an idea. Watch it. Just watch it. Touching a finger to say. Inside the Waldo was so transfixed with excitement that he could barely breathe. His skin felt prickly from the heat, and he could feel his heart beating in his throat. It would be soon. Sheila stood quite upright and walked around to the other side of the package. And she sank down to her knees, grasping the cutter by both of them, took a deep breath, and plunged the long blade through the middle of the package, through the masking tape, through the cardboard, through the cushioning, and right through the center of Walter Jefferson's head, which split slightly and caused little ripping arcs of lead to pulsate gently in the morning sun.
since I was a beautiful Monday. Coming out, I was on my knees, it took a baby. I walked for hours with Lynn Arian. She stayed away from me, called. I know that she cares about it. I know they call my name. I know they call my name. I know that she's drunk here and gone.
Smile. Anyone ever had a heart? Oh, they won't turn around and whisper to him when she smiled. Heavenly wine and roses, they seem to whisper to him when she smiled.
Thank you. Don't you know gonna be dead in line? When you do sleep, when you think you're gonna do it, I'm doing it anyway.
Anything you want me to, ooh, anything. next couple of days, set themselves on a bomb plate for them to choose. Ghost bloody country all covered with sleep where the black angels did weep. Not an old city sleep in the news. Ah, don't you?
Thank you.
soul, you know, my parents beat the death of us all. You sent your cat in the club, you know, you're going to cure it at all. What if I'm over done in New York State? She can't believe what she heard at all. Thought it did you do that bad, bad music alive to save a rock and roll, rock and roll. Invitation to dance to a rock and roll station. Don't you know that it's alright? It's alright.
Baby, baby, baby. Sometimes I feel so happy. Sometimes I feel so sad. Sometimes I feel so happy. But mostly, baby, you just make me mad. Baby, you just make me mad. Linger on. Honey, I thought of you as my mountaintop. Darling, I thought of you as my peak. I thought of you as everything that I had, and I just couldn't be. That I had, and I just couldn't be. Linger on, your pale blue eyes. Oh, baby, linger on and on and on and on. Your pale blue eyes. If I could make the world as pure. Strange is what I see. Oh, I'd put you in the mirror. Oh, and I'd put in front of me. That I put in front of me. Thank God. On and on and on and on, your pale blue eyes. Why don't you go shove it in a cup? She said to me, you know, Lou, you're just like money and time. The way you lie, and you can't stand up. Down for you is up. Oh, baby, linger on. Linger on and on and on, your pale blue eyes. Hey, it was good what we did yesterday. And I'd love to go do it again. But just cause you're married, that only goes to show that you're my best friend. but it's truly, truly, truly a sin. wish that I was born 1,000 years ago.
It's a new song called Coyotes.
Awesome.
rose to the top of the hill, doing the things the coyotes will. Climbs upstairs to the sky, sees the moon, he starts to howl. Coyote goes to the mountain top, looks over down to the river, says what a job. Says no tame dog is gonna steal my bone. Coyote on the mountain top, looking at the sky, the moon, what a job. He cast the first stone. Cast the first stone. Jackal goes to the top of the mountain, looks at the sky, starts to count the stars, looks at the moon, and he starts to howl. Coyote up to the hill, doing the things the coyotes will. Says no wild dog is gonna take my bone. Coyote up on the mountaintop, looks over to the river, says that's why the drop. Cast the first stone. Cast the first stone.
Stone.